Let's open up our Bibles together to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I've entitled our message today, Far More. Can we say that together? Far More. How many of y'all believe that our God is a God of far more? Anybody? I need some participation in the house. All right, I don't know if I'm convinced, Jarrett. I brought two sermons today. If you guys don't believe that our God is a God of far more, we can go straight to Revelation and I can scare you into believing that our God is a God of far more. So how many of y'all believe that our God is a God of far more? Anybody? Now we're talking. Now, I'm telling you, I'm Baptist. I'm more Bapticostal than I am Baptist, okay? And so if you shout me down in this sermon, I promise you we'll beat the Presbyterians to lunch. All right? Hey, it's so great to be here. I'm so thankful for Champion Forest, for my good friend Jarrett and Debbie and the entire Stevens family, and to be with the Youngs again. And we've just been so blessed by your partnership and to be here, John, on Mission Sunday, and to be a part of so many incredible heroes of the faith. Jared, your testimony just blessed me, brother. I'm gonna be praying for those kids of yours as you jump back on the field. It's a true honor to serve King Jesus together, isn't it? No matter if we're in Houston, if we're in Asia, if we're in the foreign country of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's an honor to serve the Lord together. I've been living by kind of a motto, a manifesto, an anthem in my life over the last really 15 years of church planting in the city of New Orleans and also in the city of Pittsburgh over the last 4 years. And it's this. I preach this to myself every day. Reflective praise inspires future perseverance. And what that does for me is when I'm in the present, no matter what I'm facing, the ups, the downs, the unpredictable reality of life, I reflect back. And when I reflect back, I don't know about you, but I see so many things. I see some great failures in my life. I see some successes in my life. I see ups, I see downs. But one of the things that I promise you that I see is I see the faithfulness of God. And what that does for me is in the present, reflective praise now inspires future perseverance. What it does for me is it gives me a faith lift to believe that if God has been faithful, God is faithful. And no matter where he might take me in the future, God has promised, because we have his word, that God forever will be faithful to the end. He'll be faithful to the end. God has been so faithful to my family. I've been married for 18 years to my high school sweetheart. Her name is Annabeth. We have 4 kids. My oldest son, Bolt, is 14, and his testosterone is out of control right now. He wakes me up in the middle of the night just to challenge me for push-ups. I mean, that's where we are right now. And he's such a good-looking kid, and he's an artist, and man, I'm so proud of him. The other bookend is my princess. Her name is Carolina McCall. We gave her a longer name because we just predicted we would love her more. And her name is Carolina McCall. She is so gorgeous. Y'all gotta see a picture. I mean, she looks just like her daddy. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. And I love McCall. McCall's so beautiful, man. She loves cheerleading and tumbling, and she's all girl, and I love daddy dates with her and all that. In the middle, I have twin boys. And my twin boys are 12. I'm just gonna tell you this about my twin boys. Their names are Mac and Burke. I gave all my boys one syllable yelling names. Bolt, Mac, Burke, here. I knew that's how it's gonna go down. And so Mac and Burke, how do I put it? They're always working on their testimony. God showed me they're either going to jail or they're gonna be the world's greatest missionaries. There's only two options in their life, and they love sports. I got up at 3:30 this morning from Pittsburgh to make it here this morning because my twin boys were in a playoff game last night at 7 p.m. at the local high school as sixth graders, and we whooped those Pittsburgh kids. My twins won 26-0. I mean, it was awesome. Well, I love that they love football, but we're about to go into my favorite sport, which is basketball. Believe it or not, I played basketball about 40 pounds ago. And played college basketball. I was a Division II All-American. And last fall, they really got into basketball. And I love that they got into basketball because that's like my sport, you know? And so the season kicks off, and my twins, man, I'm just telling you, they started off on fire. They were draining threes left and right. They were breaking kids' ankles. It was awesome. But how many of y'all know in life, but especially in sports, that when you go through a season, you go through a season slump? You go through a season slump. Well, as the season began, the twins started to go through a slump. They weren't on fire. And so, Daddy, like, this is his sport, right? So I'm like, boys, listen to me. And I'm trying to give them all these tips. You'd never believe this. I know your kids don't do this to you. They didn't listen to Daddy. And so I'm telling, like, one of the twins, I'm like, why aren't you listening to me? I know exactly what's going wrong with your shot. You need to work on this. And I'm like, Daddy, let's just be real. We ain't never seen you play. You're not on Instagram. It's like, I'm going to show you, boys. I go deep into my closet, pull out a dusty box. Have y'all ever tried to find a VHS tape player today, a VCR? I pulled out an old VHS tape highlight. And we found the one left VCR in all of Pittsburgh. You should have seen my twins' eyes with this amazing technology. My wife was like, let's make sure we rewind this because if we don't, Blockbuster's gonna fine us, you know? And y'all remember the amazing technology? If you hit stop, rewind, it goes faster. And so I'm watching the twins watch Daddy hoop. And they're like, snap, old man's got some moves. I'm like, boys, what do you think of Daddy's game? And one of the boys said this, Daddy, you're a ball hog. I said, exactly. I knew I was a ball hog. Never saw a shot I couldn't shoot and make. How does a shooter get out of a shooting slump? A shooter has to keep shooting. Champion Forrest, I've come all the way down, thawing out from Pittsburgh to Houston, Texas, to remind you, Champion Forrest, that no matter what you're going through in life, the highest of highs, the lowest of lows, God wants you to believe that He is the God of far more, and He wants you to keep shooting your shot. He wants you to keep shooting your shot. Let's check out an old school VHS tape reminder of our God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21, God's word says this. Paul writing to the church plant in Ephesus. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Don't overlook that. Because a lot of people take what we're about to read here in just a few moments, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, to start believing God to provide them a Tesla with rim spinning. This is not a prayer for the external things. This is a prayer for the inner being. The inner being. How many of you would testify today that before God started to work through you, He needed to work in you? You see, this is a prayer, a belief in the God of far more in our inner being. So continuing on in the text, verse 17, it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints. If God had a football team, do you think it would be the Texans? No, it would be the Saints. I'm just saying, who dat? The saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth? And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now here's verse 20 and verse 21. Maybe you know verse 20 and 21 and you've never rewound and looked at the verses before. I mean, how rich are those verses? Because of verses 14 through 19, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that is at work, where? Within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen. The word of the Lord. I've had the great privilege of serving the Lord in the city of New Orleans, my hometown where I was born and raised. My entire family's from South Africa. My parents moved as missionaries to America. I know that sounds a little strange, but the Lord called my parents to sell their possessions and move to the city of New Orleans in 1979. This guy was born 2 years later. And I grew up in that city. Met Jesus in that city. My dad was an evangelist with the Billy Graham Association, and I traveled the world. I spent entire summers on the road. My dad was preaching a revival. I'll be honest, revival preachers back in the day only had 5 sermons. I had heard this sermon a gazillion times. How do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? But the Spirit of God got a hold of my life at age 7. And he changed my life. I want you to know what Jesus has done for me, what Jesus has done for so many here today. If you don't know Jesus, Jesus can do the same thing for you. I pray in just a few moments you'll trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, at the age of 13, my dad accepted the call of God to pastor a church in South Carolina. So I spent high school and college in the Carolinas. And although I ran from God's call into full-time ministry, God got a hold of my life and I surrendered my life into full-time ministry when I was in college. And shortly after getting married to my high school sweetheart, I returned back to New Orleans. And in New Orleans, God was moving. I started out serving with Upward Sports, if you're familiar with that ministry, and then started serving with the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and a thing called Hurricane Katrina hit a lot of our lives. God used that storm to change my call upon my life from getting a seminary degree and then going somewhere to be a pastor or whatever to planting my life into that city. And my wife, she was working as a massage therapist. And I just want everybody to know, it's awesome being married to a massage therapist. We, over a meal one night, led one of my wife's coworkers to the Lord. And through that conversion, God called my wife and I to move off that seminary campus and move into the heart of uptown New Orleans, and we started a Bible study in our home in 2007. That Bible study turned into a beautiful church. I actually don't believe in church planting. I plant the gospel. We plant, we water, God gives the growth. And so God created a beautiful church family called Vintage Church, and that church family was wild. We had a blast. This is where me and Jarrett got to know each other, and I had the incredible blessing of being a part of seeing his brother come to faith in Jesus. Our church moved 13 times in 8 years. Our church slogan was, "We're a cool church if you can find us." And God was stirring in my heart. I did some doctoral work in church planting. And as I'm studying church planting, we're doing this building renovation because God blessed us with a church that had seen better days. And they had no people but a building. We had people no building. And so we married each other and we became one. We did this building renovation thing. And I'm telling you, the first Sunday that I got to preach on the stage that we built, I finally had an office. The Lord told me I was done. And he told me to open up my hands. And I want you to know, as we began to open up our hands, we almost went to Orlando, Florida, and by God's providence, we didn't go there. And the North American Mission Board called me and they said, Rob, we've never had many guys that have planted churches that might be open to doing something again. So would you consider going to Pittsburgh? And I said, with all due respect, that sounds terrible. This kid from New Orleans, living in the north, snow, no way. And I'll never forget the North American Mission Board encouraging me to just come up and pray. Isn't it amazing that sometimes God does things that we don't plan, that we don't think about, that maybe we're not even asking for? So God put us in Pittsburgh. And we landed in Pittsburgh in fall of 2018, and we worked really hard together alongside the Send Network, and God did some amazing things, and we officially launched our church in January of 2020. Did COVID happen down here? Oh, okay, I was just checking. Great timing. Do you know that 400 plus people showed up to our church launch? And within a couple months, they were gone. Our church had never done online anything. And now we're trying to lead this entire church. And if I can just be real with you, all the energy that my family and I had spent, I began to really struggle. We tried to come back. Our city was a little bit different with restrictions. We tried to come back in fall of 2020. And as we came back right before Christmas, a COVID outbreak hit our own church and forced us back to online. Can I be real here, Jarrett? I think this is a real place. I went into one of the deepest, darkest depressions I've ever been in my life. I wanted to quit. I didn't have the energy. I didn't want to press on. Maybe that's someone here today. You're at one of these deepest, darkest depression moments of your life. And do you know that I got a random text from a friend? You might have heard of this guy. His name is Jarrett Stevens. Jarrett's been in my corner for a long time. Sometimes he's so daggum happy, I want to punch him. I'm like, you shouldn't be that chirpy, Jarrett. Life's hard. Just frown every now and then. But do you know what Jarrett sent me? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. He sent me an old school VHS tape. I want to share with you a few things that the Lord's taught me from this text. And I want to answer some questions as to why I believe that no matter if you're in your darkest moment right now, you can still believe that our God is the God of far more. The first question that I want to answer is why? Why? We find the why described so beautifully in verses 14 through 16, but I want you to know, right as it says there in verse 14, for this reason, so why should we believe that our God is the God of far more? For this reason, I want you to know, it says, I bow my knees before the Father. He is our heavenly Father. Amen? He is our heavenly Father. And it describes who this heavenly Father is. He considers you to be his child. He loves you so much. I love my kids, man. I'm that crazy dad at the football game last night. Go and watch my Instagram highlight right now. I'm loud. The love I have for my kids doesn't come anywhere near the love that our Father has for us as his kids. Because my love's imperfect. His is perfect. And he's our Heavenly Father, and it's described in this text who this Heavenly Father is. Number one, he's our Creator. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." And it great to know that when we're in a lack and we need something, God is our Creator. So if you're in need of anything in life, it'd probably be a good idea to go to the one who created anything in life. He is our Creator. He's with us at the beginning, but he doesn't just say, "Hey, I'm calling you to Pittsburgh. Good luck. Send me letters." No, he goes with me to Pittsburgh. He's not just the Creator and the caller. He is secondly the provider. It says it right there in the text that according to the riches of his glory. Isn't it great to know that anytime we lay our request before the Lord, no matter where we are in life, God never goes into the pantry in heaven and says, "Oh man, we're empty. I got to go to Costco." There are unlimited riches in his glory. Let me put it another way. Nothing is too great for our God. Nothing. And so he's our provider. But yo, I gotta show you some sort of promise here that I hope just fires you up to believe that God is the God of far more. He's not just our Creator. He's not just our provider. He is our sustainer. It says that he may grant you, because of his riches, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. When God is for us, who can be against us? He's faithful to the end. Thank you, God, for being my Creator. Thank you, God, for being my provider. Thank you, God, for being my sustainer to the end. How is this possible? Well, I want you to know he is Christ in you. We have access to the Father because Jesus came. He lived, he died, he defeated sin, death, and hell, and he offers to all who would confess with their mouth Jesus Lord and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, eternal life. Thank you, God. Go and read later today Ephesians 1 and read about this beautiful blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. But I want you to know, I want to answer a second question here. It's the question of how, or maybe what? I'm just not one of these guys that loves reading things in scripture and just says, so wonderful, so beautiful. And I just sing a song and I just ponder and I think. I'm a man of action. Typically, I want to like hit somebody or hit something or run or do something. I don't know if any of y'all want to do that too, but like if I hear that God is so great, that he's the God of far more, that he's my Creator, provider, sustainer, okay, what now, God? How do we go about accessing and living out this promise? Well, I want you to know in the text, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are to pray for a number of things. The first is we pray for a faithful passion. Everybody touch your heart right now. See, it starts right here. Those crazy twins of mine, as a dad, I can't just focus on the external, right? I wanna talk to their heart because daddy ain't gonna be around forever controlling the external. I wanna get to their heart. And at the core, if I can just tell you what my main problem was in my deepest, darkest depression, is I was looking too much at the wind and the waves and not the one who controls the wind and the waves. And I had forgotten that God was with me in my heart. You see, we pray because it all starts there for a faithful passion. Look in the text. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The second thing we pray for is not just a faithful passion, but a foundational love. And the reason why I've put that here, look in the text, it says that you being rooted and grounded in love. When I think of love, I think about the action, the commandment to love God and to love people. And I've put here a foundational love because can we just admit it's hard to love? Anybody else want to testify that it's hard to love? I've been in Houston before. Y'all's traffic be crazy. People just don't understand. I got somewhere to go. But when you're rooted and grounded in an agape love because Christ is in your heart, you will love as Christ has loved us. And last time I checked, Christ didn't die for us when we did everything right, when we were perfect, when we were holy. No, God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so I need that same rooted and grounded love to exemplify the love of Christ even when I don't feel like it. Even when the accents in Pittsburgh confuse me. Even when winter just does not stop even around Easter next year in Pittsburgh. Y'all with me? A foundational love, but number three, we pray for a fulfilling understanding. So let's touch our hearts, faithful passion, right? Let's show our hands. That's a foundational love. Now touch your minds right here. You see, God doesn't want just your heart. He doesn't want just your hands. He doesn't want just your mind. He wants all of it. He wants every aspect of your life. And I love this promise that's found here in the text. It says that you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And then here's the cherry on the top. For your heart, for your hands, for your minds, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So not only does God want to touch every aspect of your life, he wants to unleash the very aspect, the fullness of who he is into every aspect of your life. See, our God is a God of far more. So we've answered why. I hope this is starting to convince you. We've answered how. How about the question when? When, Pastor Rob, should we pray a prayer of far more? Well, I want you to know I've been to seminary. I mean, I've got a doctorate. You have to have perfect church attendance for 3 months. You have to give at least 12% of your income to Champion Forest. You have to be on 4 mission trips in 2023. You never need to yell in traffic. When do we get to approach the throne of grace? What's the first word in verse 20? Somebody yell it out. No! When do we get to approach Jesus? Now! In your deepest, darkest moments, when you feel like you can't even move forward, when you've lost all hope, now. In your mountaintop moments, when in those mountaintop moments, anybody discovered this in life? Pride comes before a fall, where you need to be reminded that he is God, you're not. Now. I'm so thankful that we get to pray to our God now. And it says now to him. This is a word for somebody right now. I'm calling someone right now. Although you're filled with discouragement, you've taken a few L's over the last couple months. Keep shooting your shot. Keep shooting your shot. Now to him, church. Why to him? Because reflected praise inspires future perseverance. God is able. Now to him. Who is able to do what? Far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. How crazy is that? I'm telling you, as a pastor for the last 15, 16 years or so, like, I'm a whiteboarding fool. I love putting my staff in a room and getting out the whiteboard and strategizing. Can I tell you, in that deep, dark moment of my life, that depression, I had no vision. I couldn't even think up dreams. I had lost all heart. So everybody take a deep breath with me. The far more that God's promised you and me, what's the promise? You can't even ask or think this. All right, newsflash. Moving from New Orleans to Pittsburgh was not on my 5-step life plan. But our God is a God of far more. And you know what? I have my struggling days. I couldn't imagine. Just this morning, just 30 minutes ago, I got a text from someone named Kevin. Kevin is a VP of a business up in Pittsburgh. I shared Jesus with him for over a year. Kevin just bought a house, and he texted me this morning. He goes, "Praying for your travels, Pastor. We miss you. When you come back in town this week, would you come and pray a blessing over this new house that I bought?" Do you know that after a year and a half of loving on Kevin, Kevin met Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and I had the privilege of baptizing Kevin? Man, I can't imagine missing out on that. You see, he does far more than we could ever ask or think. And the pressure's off. As my wife keeps preaching to me, "Rob, this ain't about your ability, it's about your availability." How is this possible? According to the power that is at work within us. So when should we pray this prayer? Now? But can I also tell you when we should pray this prayer? Look at the end of this in verse 21. Forever and forever. "Oh, but Rob, this country is just falling apart. I just don't know what to do with these young people." God's got this. God never hits the panic button. And by the way, I might be in a city called Pittsburgh and, you know, I'm up there and there's a lot of people that need Jesus or whatever else. Do you know I'm not coming there to make Jesus Lord of Pittsburgh? He's already Lord of Pittsburgh. You're not here in Houston to make Jesus Lord of Houston. He's already Lord of Houston. He is able. And he has promised to be faithful to the end. It says here, "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen." So every head bowed and every eye closed in this moment right now. I want to invite you in this moment to believe in God for far more. To believe in God for far more. That far more for you today, ma'am, sir, might be the far more that is offered to you through Jesus Christ's blood and his righteousness. And so I invite you in just a few moments, would you lift up your hand saying, "Rob, I want to believe in God for far more, because this right now is a moment of salvation in my life, and today I trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." And then I'm gonna reread Ephesians chapter 3, 20 and 21 as we close in prayer. But maybe for some of you, you were like me just a couple years ago, and you're struggling. You've stopped shooting your shot for Jesus. And this text has done for you what it did for me, as your pastor, Jarrett Stevens, blessed me with it. to keep shooting my shot and believing in God for far more. And so no matter if you're at your darkest moment ever, when do we get to go to God? Now. Now is the time. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would, in Jesus' name, believe in God for far more, would you just lift up your hand, because I want to just bless you and thank God for what he's doing. I see hands going up all over, up in the balcony. Praise God. These could be moments of salvation. These could be moments of encouragement. These could be moments of recommitment and dedication. Hands up all over. And so together, church, thank you for putting your hands up. Let's pray once again. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.